Well, seeing where I made it, despite your directions.
Hope you're prepared for an unforgettable luncheon.
Egods, my roast is ruined.
What if I purchase fast food and disguise it as my own cooking?
Delightfully devilish, Seymour.
So we're in debt, I was just
stretching my calves on the windowsill.
Isometric exercise. Care to join me?
Why is there smoke, Seymour?
Oh, life is too smoke and steam from the steam clams wrapping. I hope you're ready for mouth-watering hamburgers.
I thought we were having steamed clams.
I said steamed hams. That's what I call hamburgers.
You call hamburgers steamed hams?
Yes, it's a regional dialect.
What region?
Upstate New York.
Really? Well, I'm from Utica and I never heard. Anyone hears the phrase steamed hams?
Well, not in Utica, no. But it's an old expression. Old family recipe. Oh, no.
Steamed hams. You call them steamed hams. They are obviously
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got a couple of good buddies. We got Jordan. How's it going, Jordan?
Going okay. How are you?
You know, it's high tide. I'm sleepy. I want to take a nap. And we also got, we got Brenna side. Brenna, how are you?
Good, man. Little guy, huh? You tired?
You know, it's a little bit tough, you know, doing the whole working full-time thing and then going to school and stuff, and there's tests, and then, you know, you stay up too late watching Troma's War, drinking like 7 beers, so, you know, you're burning the candle at all ends, yeah.
Full-time, huh? Full-time? You want some benefits? You want a job? You want, you know, you maybe get yourself a little 401k option?
I have one of those, and it's like a pit where some of my paycheck goes that I'll never fucking see it again. Like, why does this exist? This is like some kind of, what do you call those things? They're Ponzi schemes?
Yeah, absolutely. Just investing in general is kind of a scheme. It's for suckers. You're right. I had I don't know. I had a bit of a surplus of money from the COVID-19 stuff about a month ago, and I was bored, and I was like, what if I just take $150, just $150, and just invest it in like some cryptocurrency or something, see what happens. So, I mean, boys, if you want to know what that feels like, just take out a 10. What's that, Hamilton? A little $10 bill. Get out of watch. Number $1 bill. $11 you got there. Find your closest paper shredder and just put that shit down there. Watch it happen.
Yeah, man. If you really want to see an investment, a return on your investment, rather, you know, you got to gamble on sports. The problem is there's no sports. So.
Yeah, true.
There are no money making opportunities anymore.
You know what the best investment is?
What's that?
Putting your money in the bank and never touching it.
I don't know about that. I'm not so sure about that one. I don't trust the banks. Typically, if you got cash, you want to probably stash that under the mattress or turn it into bullets.
Yeah, right.
These things, they're long-term investment strategies. They don't tell you about those. That's some rich dad, poor dad shit.
So don't trust the banks, but trust that the Buffalo Bills will beat the spread in the fourth quarter.
If you look at the historical data, okay?
they have an all-American kicker. They'll go for it. It'll be fine.
No. You guys got it all wrong. What you do is you take the money that you have, all of it in the bank, and you use it to buy drugs. then you go out on the street and you sell the drugs for a little more money and turn yourself a profit, and then you just keep doing that.
The drugs work for you. It's a cone scheme.
Exactly. Also, if you want to invest in something, you should invest your time watching Uncut Gems on Netflix. It's a good movie. I saw it recently.
I've been saying that, man. I saw that on Krimbus when that came out. I mean, that's a very good movie.
It's a really good movie. Your anxiety will just be shot through the roof in a way you didn't know it could be.
Jordan, you seen that one yet?
It is on my to-watch list along with Parasite. I just haven't girded myself to feel stress or whatever to watch it, but I will eventually. And you know, hopefully it's better than Adam Sandler's like 20 other movies since Little Nicky.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably no. What is the one where he's he farts a lot? It's like
Waterboy. I don't know. Gives a fuck.
It's all of them.
Happy Gilmore. No, and I mean, I think I feel like Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. It's just two fucking names of a guy who acts like an asshole in a movie. It's just completely interchangeable.
Yeah, but those are both like I really enjoy watching those two movies, and you know, the quality is kind of dropped off a bit since then, or maybe we're just inured to his presence where it doesn't hit the same anymore.
You're probably true, but I interrupted you. Continue.
I have no idea what I was going to say.
How
about we just say this? Hey, we're doing a music episode this time around. We're gonna what?
Fuck.
What?
Who cares? Who fucking cares? It's music.
I mean,
I still
ask that question about fucking every episode we do. Who cares about this?
It's true. Before we hit record, every episode Joe is like, "Why are we fucking doing this again?" And I'm like, "No, Joe, please, please, just we gotta respect the fans, you know." Don't hit the doomsday button, man. Don't do it.
I'm sorry, Gary. We do this for you, buddy. That's for our fan named Gary. We're here at the halfway mark on this this year. Wait, really?
Wow. Shit.
We're past it technically.
Fuck.
Shit. That's no good.
We're gonna start seeing Halloween candy in stores.
Maybe. But you won't be able to get a cool costume for your black metal band. Got bad news, everybody. Spirit Halloween Stores is not taking over the abandoned Dillard's in your town this year.
How am I going to make my corpse paint jokes on YouTube.com?
I don't know. It's a struggle, man. But, you know, it's a recession, so everybody suffers. You know.
I will have to forego walking around the Spirit Halloween once a year and not buy anything.
Yep. It's tough. It's tough all over. But regardless, we're halfway through the year. And, you know, upcoming this week, I believe it's 2 days from now when you listen to this, we got another Bandcamp day. Isn't that right, Jordan?
We do. Bandcamp, for the past couple of months now, 1 day a month, has been taking away their... they get a little cut out of every purchase, but for 1 day a month, the artists get to keep everything, or the label does if the label is the only Bandcamp that allows the music to be bought through, which does happen sometimes, unfortunately. But yes, you buy stuff, let's say for $5, the band gets all $5. And on Toil of Hell website, usually in the week of when this happens, we've been promoting certain bands, the writers like them, they want to get some more attention and hopefully maybe you find some new stuff. Well, because this is sort of a heavy metal podcast, kind of, maybe a little bit, we are going to do the same thing with the added bonus of playing the music for you. It's definitely not because there's like no news going on and we're sick of talking about creeps and bands.
Yeah, it's fucking endless. There's too many creeps, and my throat's tired.
I, for one, am shocked that the members of Attila are all creeps.
Yeah, not just one Attila, it's many Attilers.
The drummer and the bassist, the guitarist must be, like, sweating right now.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Geez. Oh, geez.
Absolutely.
Oh,
geez. I mean, he probably writes all the music anyway, just fucking fire him, dude. You're the guitarist, that's your job, is to do everything.
Well,
it's 2020. We've grown beyond the need for the rest of the members of Attila.
That is seriously. But we're not doing it this time, though. We're not talking about Attila. We made that choice. We got the music so we don't have to fucking talk about Attila.
Right. We're not talking about Attila. We're not talking about Homewrecker. We're not talking about Black Veil Brides. Who else was announced this week that we're not going to talk about?
Play all their music, you know? Song after the other. It's all about the music, you know? I mean, like, we're stuck in this cycle of 24-hour metal news. You know, we forget about what really fucking matters, which is the music, my dudes.
It's deep, bro. Like, that's fresh perspective. I'm glad that you could re-energize me here.
Close your fucking Netscape Navigator window. All right, get off your metal sucks, your blabbermouth. Your fucking, what's it, the metal advocate with the devil with the suit? Who thought that was a good logo? Fuck you. Get off of it.
No, which one is that? Because that one's like fucking bottom tier. is Metal Insider?
Metalinsider.net. Yeah. That's the one.
I barely know her.
Get off it. You know, get on Spotify and stream music. You know? That's what matters. Listen, Metallica fans say that this is the best song according to MetalSucks.com. Metallica's some kind of bracket, which allowed fans to vote for the band's best song, has concluded. What song do you guys think is Metallica's best song ever?
Enter Sandman.
No, it's not even on the top 10.
Fuel.
Metal nerds were really mad about this one and got up there and they made it Master of Puppets. It's Master of Puppets, everybody. Wow. Wow. Amazing. Wow. So original. Oh, my God. Wait, crazy.
Why are metal nerds mad about that?
Well, I mean, they're just, you know, metal nerds, they're online. They got time. They don't want everybody to think that Metallica's legacy is their single greatest hit. You know what I mean? they want to make sure that Metallica's best song is really their best song. So it's Metallica's second greatest hit instead.
Mm-hmm.
So
that checks out. I mean, nobody appreciates, I don't know, like fucking the Four Horsemen or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, man. Nobody cares about, Trapped Under Ice. You know, that's one of their underground songs.
Yeah. I think we've lost the plot here. We're playing music that came out this year.
Right.
From Bandcamp artists. Not Bandcamp artists, from metal artists that are on Bandcamp so you can purchase their music. Bandcamp doesn't get to wet their beak on this one. All goes to the band or the label, as Jordan said. And we think it's good stuff. We all made a couple selections here. Who wants to start with their selection?
Jordan's my favorite. Jordan, you start.
Oh, whoa, what pressure. The first song I'm going to go with is by a one-man band from Canada. Goes under the name Unrequited. And Unrequited is spelled with a V instead of a U. So if you want to look it up, unrequited.bandcamp.com. It is like post-black metal. He kind of describes it as being both depressive and uplifting, which, I mean, you could definitely hear in the song because there's some bummer-sounding stuff, followed by just agonized screams, followed by like, ooh, pretty guitars and nice keyboard, and oh, this sounds nice.
So like violin sounds in there.
Yeah, and this very much right up my alley. A song can be meh, but if you throw some pianos or strings in there, I'll go, I like this part. Very nice. And he does that a lot. I've liked a lot of the other stuff he's released. And just a couple weeks ago, he put out a new album called Empathica. And this is the second song on Bandcamp. It's Empathica 2, Everwinter. Thank you.
I love Empathica. It's like Metallica, but for feeling the emotions of the people around you.
Yeah, right. See, it's like that's why Metallica was relevant, and I brought it up in a way that was in mode and fine.
Ah, you did it. I was the one that was off track.
Yeah.
Some good synergia right there. Yeah.
Synergia, Empathica. This just sounds like Devin Townsend releases.
It does. Even the album art does look like it would be something Devin Townsend would put out. Just slap his logo on it.
It's this dumb, weird Infinity logo. It looks like a tattoo a guy from 2004 would have.
Well, they are doing cover-ups of racist tattoos now. Maybe you can kind of slip that one in there, so
yeah,
you get it fixed.
Just get like the giant swastika on my back that takes up my whole back, you guys, seriously, and just get a Pickle Rick the size of my entire back.
I would like to see that cover up, very much so.
It is. It's like the cover up of there's the one example of that news story of a guy getting a racist tattoo covered up. The cover up is a Pickle Rick tattoo.
You're fucking shitting me, right?
No, oh, yeah, man.
No, it's true. It was when the story came out, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. I think he's in Kentucky, the tattoo artist. But someone was getting, I think, a Confederate flag covered up. And it had the before of the Confederate flag. And the after was Pickle Rick.
I can't decide which one's more offensive.
Everyone was making that joke.
Damn it. I'm so far behind.
One thing that's important and one thing that we should make sure goes down in history as noteworthy is the fact that Rick and Morty is a longer running series than the entire Confederacy. So makes sense if you really think about it.
So we're a country of failures.
I like that Texas joined the Confederacy for like 2 weeks, just enough time for the fucking thing to be lost.
We want to be losers too.
Exactly. You couldn't read the writing on the wall, dumbasses.
Look, if you want to, it's like everything's got to be bigger in Texas. You guys just had to be the biggest losers.
You're duking it out right now with Florida for the most COVID cases per day.
You know, I know that things are pretty bad here, but you can't bet against Florida on this. This is theirs to win.
Yeah, Florida man, beaches, you guys are just, it's not going to happen.
I don't even understand. It's Texas in the summer. It's 1,000 degrees outside and there's water. Where the fuck are you going? Stay inside. It's air conditioned there, dummy.
Bars.
Yeah, I guess that would be it.
You just go to the mall. You guys have big malls, right? Strip malls, malls.
I mean, we used to, but like everywhere else, mall doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, you just replaced it with Amazon distribution centers.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it sucks because Amazon won't deliver an Auntie Anne's pretzel into a malfunctioning Mortal Kombat 2 machine like at Tilt.
Fuck that, man. Gotta miss the malls. All right. I'll tell you what, I changed my mind. Joe is my new favorite. Joe, Yeah, sorry, Jordan. He got me with the Auntie Anne's pretzel. So
you know what, this is mail-in voter fraud. I'm not gonna stand for this.
Fuck you, second favorite. Let Joe finish. Okay. Joe, what's a song that that was on Bandcamp.com? You went on Bandcamp, right? You go, you got the little logo. It doesn't make sense. It's like Bandcamp, and then it's a fucking, what is that? A hypotenuse? a Pythagorean? Like, fucking, what is that, Bandcamp? Get your shit together with the new logo. Like, I mean, camp. Could you have, like, a fucking tent or something?
Yeah, that would make way more sense.
Stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
do something with this. Right. It's very uninspiring.
Yeah. Bandcamp.com. What'd you find?
There were two things that I found. I guess what I would want to do here is there's a band that I've been a fan of since they were their image was very different from what it is now. Back in like the mid to late 2000s, it's a band called Zibalba. They're a bunch of mean, hardcore Mexican dudes from LA, and
it was the best kind.
Well, it used to be straight hardcore, and then eventually they just started playing mid-paced death metal, and they're really good at it. And their new album Años in God damn it, please cut this out.
No,
Años in Infierno.
Not a chance, pal.
I know Spanish. Get off my ass. They have an instrumental track on it called Saka that is pretty fucking tight. It's a groover for sure, and I think that you know, if you like mid-paced death metal, this one ought to do it for you.
Zabalba could be like one of those bands if you're of 90% of metalheads where your decision to become a fan of something is based on how cool the merch looks. So Zabalba, that's cool logo, cool merch, you know, check them out.
buy some t-shirts. They got Dan Seagrave doing art starting a few records back. So, you know, it's his typical style, but just with all of that Aztec imagery and fucking pyramids and shit. We love a good pyramid. You got to have a good pyramid.
That would look sick, like Aztec, you know, architecture, you could say. Just put that on the t-shirt, like a baggy, faded t-shirt on some skinny white dude walking around the mall that doesn't exist anymore. Like, that's metal right there. That's metal music. That's what the genre is. You got a goatee and a shirt that doesn't fit right.
It helps if the goatee is kind of like a little bit too long. Maybe if you slap a rubber band in the middle of it.
Or you like do two rubber bands on either side.
Yeah, if you braid it.
I mean, not even braid it.
If it's long enough, you just dye it.
Yeah, just put a little bit of pink tip there at the end.
And have like those baggy JNCO looking, not actually JNCO, but JNCO looking South Pole jeans.
JNCOs.
That you fucking
JNCOs.
You got at Sears with your mom in 1998, and you still have them.
I mean, if you go to a Burlington coat factory right now, you can still buy what I assume are new model South Pole shorts that are way too big.
FUBU hoodies.
Mark 40 South Pole jeans.
Echoes.
Oh, shit. Echo Unlimited. Yeah, the fucking rhinoceros. I saw a guy working at a Taco Bell once who had an Echo logo tattooed to his face.
That's sick. That's fucking awesome. I'm just really passionate about the styles that I can purchase at TJ Maxx.
Yeah,
I'll bet there's a story behind that tattoo.
He didn't want to have to wear, you know, the one of the 13 $40 t-shirts every day that he had, so he just decided to, you know, represent some brand on his face.
I just really like rhinos.
How did this become the de facto style for metal dudes, like, from 1995 onwards?
What, Echo?
No, I mean, like, baggy shorts and, like, a poorly fitting t-shirt and a terrible goatee.
I mean, I love how every single one of them will look at a modern metal band that's actually very good, and based on, like, band photos of the people making the music, they'll just be like, oh, this is hipster metal.
And I'm like, their pants fit.
I know.
And then they throw a slur.
Yeah, they've gotten a haircut at a place that isn't at the mall again. And yeah, maybe that's just what a modern artist, you know, might look like. Maybe it's they wear glasses that aren't just like bent wireframe ones that you bought when you were 13 and have hung on to ever since.
These guys are posers. They probably never even heard of Pissing Razors.
No. Posers. Absolutely. I guess it's my turn, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that you're on deck there, pal.
Fuck. All right, I'm going to represent. I'll tell you what. On my very first episode of Undergrounded, you can check it out on SoundCloud. Never mind. So, Adzez is a real rad dude named Forrest from Seattle, Washington. He's one guy who's made a band on Bandcamp. Have you heard of people who do this? It's crazy. By yourself, no friends. You just, I mean, he's probably has friends. He's a nice guy, but I mean, you know, he doesn't have any other musicians fucking up his style, you know?
I mean, he I think his kids fuck up his style, right?
Yeah, his children that he has to make time for, so he can't go out and like argue with some drummer somewhere in a hot practice space. Fuck all that.
That's what music is, bro. It's avoiding your family so you can argue in a basement with some fucking guy that refuses to get his GED.
Charlie, if you leave your beer on my Mesa rectifier one more fucking time.
But he doesn't do none of that, so he's a poser. But
we love him anyway. He's my favorite poser. He put out an album called No One Wants to Speak About It, and it looks legit. I mean, usually when you deal with these like these one man Bandcamp bands, they really like take a minute in MS Paint to get an album cover, or they go and they find some royalty free, really old 200-year-old painting that looks really bad. And then they put like a lime green logo that they wrote in like MS Paint text, or maybe Paint 3D, which is even worse. And that's it. That's what you get. But no, man, his aesthetic, it's on point. It looks good. He's got a great album cover. He's got a great looking site here. All looks legit. Good photos. I recommend you check it out just based on aesthetic alone, because, you know, you're on a you're on a computer screen, dumbass. Like, you know, think about that. But the music is awesome. It's doomy and groovy and really well produced. And I'm really proud of him for this one. So this song is called Loss, and again, it's from No One Wants to Speak About It by Adzes. That's Adzes. Check them out. We'll be right back.
I've written about this guy a couple of times. I did a premiere from this new record that he put out this year. It's good. Backed hard, man.
Backed hard. I was thinking about it. I'm sorry.
No, go for it. Go for it.
I lost my point. I got too embarrassed. I'm just a pile of acne-ridden humiliation. Just on a microphone, man. Just continue the show, please.
What sucks is that I'm 32, and I had like the worst acne as a kid, like to the point where I had to take Accutane, you know, and my face was just peeling off and disgusting. And you know, I thought I was over that, but I'm 32 and I still have acne. What is the deal with that?
I don't know, man. It's like I just pulled a blackhead out of my shoulder where the tattoo is, and the and the blackhead is like the same color as the tattoo. That's gotta not be good for the tattoo, right?
I mean, you don't know that you didn't just pull out a part of your tattoo, right?
I mean, I did. It's skin. It's where they put the tattoo, I think.
I don't know how this works.
I think a tattoo, they put it on the epidermis, which is different.
No, the epidermis is the outermost layer. I think that you need to actually get it into like
the lower, deeper dermis.
Yeah, some part of the epithelium.
Yeah, it goes to this like middle goo part between skin and just pure blood. It's like the sunburn part.
We'll research that particular layer for a future episode, but in the meantime, I think that Jordan has something for us.
What the fuck is happening?
Get a tattoo, Jordan. You'll find out.
The show just took a nosedive. So my second choice for this music episode...
Shit. Who fucking cares? All right, Jordan, what's your second choice, my man? Music. Woo! Metal. Yes.
Woo. Music. Metal. Yes. The second choice is a band called Fires in the Distance. Interesting thing about this band is that I got a promo for them maybe like 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago. Full album. Really enjoyed it. It's like melodic doom metal. It's very much in the same vein as bands like Swallow the Sun, where it can have that like really heavy parts and then have the melody and the pretty stuff, which I enjoy. And then the promo disappeared, and I just kind of figured, oh, you know, I missed my time frame for listening to it more so I could like fully write a review about it. And while I was listening to it, I thought, like, that's so weird. This band's really good and really tight, and they're, like, self-releasing this. They're not self-releasing it anymore because they signed to Prosthetic Records.
Hey.
And Prosthetic is going to be putting out this album this summer. But two songs are on Bandcamp now. And another interesting thing about the band is that they're kind of doing this sound that's very much in tune with, like, Scandinavian metal bands, Finnish type doom, like I said, like Swallow the Sun, it's that type of sound, but they're from Connecticut, which is not the home for this type of music at all.
Yeah, no, Connecticut is where like good metal goes to die.
It's a lot of metalcore.
Oh, it's terrible. Connecticut is just like, I don't know, like usually if I see that you're a band in Connecticut, I'll just close the browser. It's like, or the
metalcore
tab.
Metalcore, hardcore, groove metal, like that type of stuff.
Like, what is the biggest band to come out of Connecticut? Is that like Hatebreed?
Yes.
Yeah. Hatebreed, Blood Has Been Shed.
I'm sure there's someone that matters somewhere that accidentally came from Connecticut. I think fucking... Emuers from Connecticut.
Oh yeah.
I thought they were from Long Island.
It's mixed. I think like Frankie is from Long Island, but I think they're like banned as, you know, musicians. If you know, I use that term very loosely. I think they came from like New Haven or something.
Well, eat shit, Jamie Josta. This is good.
It's about respect.
Jamie Josta gives it one thumb up.
What's
thumb and a half.
What's this one called, Jordan?
This song is called The Climb.
That was The Climb. It was
pretty good.
It was a climb and a time. It's actually a very good song. I was listening to it, and like I said, I was surprised that it's from Connecticut because it's actually good. And more people should listen to it. I'm on the Bandcamp right now, and you know, Jesus, come on, come on. let's pass this one around, you know, and prosthetic, do your job. Let's get some PR going. Let's roll the ball here. Come on.
And like I said, I've listened to the whole album. It's really good.
Definitely. Fires in the Distance. .com, actually. They own their own URL, and it takes them due to the Bandcamp page. That's a move. What do you guys think of that? Do you think if you're in a band, you should pay the little extra dough and make it so that your URL redirects to your Bandcamp page?
It costs you $12. So I don't know what your financial situation is like, but I don't think it's a huge commitment.
I think it's better than like letting someone else squat on it and try to sell it to you for $1,000, or someone who's really petty and hates you, and then they just make a hit website using your name.
Yeah, I was trying to register for Parler, the right wing Twitter the other day, using Greg Abbott as my handle.
I was tempted to put Nurgle on it.
Well, I guess we all know what we're doing after we finish the podcast today.
Do you think that website's going to be around 6 months from now?
I don't think it's going to be around 6 weeks from now, dude. Like, it sucks. It's fucking awful.
Gab already exists. I don't understand why they're trying to make another right-wing Twitter.
Oh, because, you know, people get mad at the other Nazis on there. They're like, oh, you know, Ted said that I was uncommitted to whatever cause. So I just started a splinter group and started I Hate Ted newsletter. It's pretty common stuff.
Right, like Gab is too liberal. You gotta go to a place where you can really say the N-word, you know?
From what I can gather is it is really easy to get banned from Parler. I don't know if that's the case with Gab.
I think I'm going to start the next Twitter with just zero moderation whatsoever.
Oh, that's what all these guys are trying to do.
It's like just
isn't that just the Daily Stormer?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, because if you go on the Daily Stormer and you say like, "Hey, you guys are dorks," you will get banned. You know what I mean? Yeah, like if you go on, if you go on there and make fun of them, they have because nothing is more. What am I trying to say here? Like the greatest career aspiration for someone who is 412 pounds, bald, not living in their mother's basement, but still living in their childhood bedroom upstairs, well in their 40s and having a goatee like the one we spoke about earlier in the show, is to be a moderator for one of these forums. You know, so they're there, you know, they wait for people to do things like revive old threads and stuff like that and have people come on and be like, why don't you guys get a job? And then they ban those people. Like there's someone there who's moderating that kind of behavior. You know, they don't want the discussions about race wars to be interrupted. So
you have to be really sly about it. You can't say you're a dork. You have to be like, Israeli couscous, pretty good. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it's like I actually went to this Cajun themed restaurant, and I enjoyed the food quite a bit.
Did you see Sacha Baron Cohen at some 3%er rally this weekend in Washington?
No, I didn't see that.
So this was going around Twitter, and there's some like shaky video camera, like camera phone footage of it. But it's one of these freedom, I love guns, not so much the minorities rally. And the story goes that a couple days before, there was like a mystery donor who provided security for the event. And Sacha Baron Cohen, in like a whole getup of like overalls and stuff like that, got on stage and sang a ridiculous song similar to when he had his show, when he did the Throw the Jews Down the Well and everyone's clapping and laughing along. He did a similar type thing where it's just like, you know, let's make Trump president forever like the Russians do. Let's chop up leftists like the Saudis do, like things like that. And people were all clapping and laughing along. And then he had, I think people kind of realized that he was making fun of them. And the security that was paid for was his security that helped get him out of there.
I mean, it's really not even like a stretch. Like these fucking freaks are like, oh, God, Emperor Trump or whatever. It's like, yes, we want the immortal sandworm to rule us with an iron fist.
I was actually just having a conversation about Sacha Baron Cohen last night because what a fucking crime that he wasn't Freddie Mercury in that movie that was bad about Freddie Mercury.
Oh, yeah. They got that other guy with the insane fake teeth.
Yeah. And
Rami Malek.
Yeah. Basically, it's just a hacker man with a mustache.
Well, they should have gotten that guy from the Queen tribute band.
I just unironically called Mr. Robot Hacker Man just for a second. My brain just thought that was the name of the show. Because I'm thinking of the meme where someone just, you know, photoshopped that. What's his name? Ian Malcolm. You just said it. The bug eye. The bug eye dude for Mr. Robot.
Who? Rami Malek.
Rami Malek. Not Ian. I was going to call
Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel. Yes.
Let's do another song.
Sure. Your turn. Your turn, buddy Joe. What do you got? What do you got for us?
Let's take a throwback to like episode 6 of Toilet Radio. There's this guy that only emails me when he has a new record out, and I always like do something for it when he has a new record out, and he's never once replied to me or never acknowledged anything about it. So
or shared or anything.
Yeah. It's some fucking guy, just one fucking guy who has a really weird sense of humor. Most of his cover art is a really shitty flip phone photo of him, like wearing a robe with a toad mask on. It goes by Krusty Old Toad. Very, very catchy, like first wave black metal with really ripping guitars, kind of poorly recorded because it's just one guy and he clearly doesn't give a shit too much. He has a new record out called Doom, Gloom, and Poon, which, you know, of course. And
you know.
And he has a track on here that I like a lot called Scared by a Werewolf. So I feel like I've just told you everything you need to know. Some real jokey bullshit. Ha ha ha, of course. But, you know, he rips, dude. He's a pretty ripping guitar player, and I think you'll hear it on this one.
I'm sorry.
scared by a werewolf by Krusty Old Toad.
Yay.
I always get upset when someone just like clearly does not care, but their music is good.
Yeah, if this guy actually like stopped dicking around, I think that he could have like a band that is like really popular, and it's not just me and three other guys that buy his records.
Literally four people have pre-ordered this album so far.
That checks out.
It's amazing where like just a little bit of money and effort can make the difference for people, and a lot of times you just go, nah.
I respect that though. This guy is clearly like, he doesn't take himself seriously, so just doing the thing, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's probably figured it out in a way a lot of us haven't. You know, it's just who gives a shit.
No, I mean, this guy's a system administrator at fucking Raytheon or something.
Yeah, Portland, Oregon. I wonder what kind of major metro company he's working for. As
Amazon?
Maybe.
Some vegan donut shop or something. But I don't know. I don't want to talk shit on this guy because I like his music. He's just weird. Yeah, I don't know. Be the fifth person that buys this record.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe he could use like a Toad mask update.
I'm pretty sure this one is just a Photoshop.
Oh, like his mask is long gone.
It doesn't look quite right. I think it's a Photoshop.
No, it looks, I mean, I've checked the pixels. I've seen many Photoshops in my time.
Well, if you go back to the Serpent's Tongue EP, you can see that he's wearing a mask there. There's some more texture on it. And I think just the resolution degradation from that one to this one.
Yeah, I like how literally 5 entire years ago his album cover had a much better quality of photograph. And like this one looks like a photo from the first iPhone.
Yeah. This is an intentional aesthetic choice.
Yeah, there's just no way that
anyway, moving on.
But if we move on, we got to go back to me.
Yes, that's correct. That's how this works.
Let's go back to Canada. We mentioned Canada as a place where there are artists sometimes. Really good artists. Specifically, we got this band Protest the Hero. They've been through some shit. And
what have they been through?
Well, Rody Walker. I'm a fucking enormous Protest the Hero fan. And I'm going to say fan because Stan, you idiots, it just means fan. It doesn't mean anything else. I don't want to hear that anymore.
So Specific connotation, like you were the kind of dude that would go and murder your girlfriend in service of Eminem.
Yeah, Stan was a bad thing.
Yeah, but people just use that now for, and I don't know, that song is like forever years old. It's like, what was it, like 12 years ago that song came out? Why are we suddenly using the phrase Stan now to talk about people who listen to K-pop in 2020? Like, why? I hate the internet. I'm deleting it. I'm going to Silicon Valley and I'm pulling the plug. You guys have lost your privileges. Anyway, Protest the Hero. I'm an enormous fan. I love them too much. I stan them. Yes, yes, queen. Protest the Hero.
I had to look this up. Stan came out in 2000. It is 20 years old.
20 years old. That's fucking older than most of the people using that phrase.
What's Dido up to?
Her tea's gone cold, man. That's all I know. Spaghetti. 20 years cold.
Dido's making spaghetti.
Anyway.
So you're a fan of Protest the Hero. Yeah. But you said they had been through some shit. What have they been through?
Rody Walker, who is this fucking... The reason I said I'm a huge fan is because I'm just going to lap praise onto them. He's this incredible singer. He's like one of the few dudes in metal who just has like serious pipes, and he blew out his voice really bad, and so for months and months he had to try to train to get it back. And on this album, Palimpsest, which you got to look that up to find out what the definition is, because I'm shaky on it. I think it's like a piece of paper that had some kind of manuscript on it, and then that manuscript was erased so that a new manuscript was written on it. I don't know, But the album's called Palimpsest. And on this one, he's kind of trained his voice back. It still sounds incredible, but it's just a little raspier. It's a little more broken up than usual. And that's pretty fucking rock and roll. I like that. It's got a good good vibe to it. And there are so many Dynamite tracks on it. There's like not a skippable track in the whole thing. It's just, I could go on and on. But I'm not going to go with like the really big, boomy songs that they put out already. Like The Canary, you'll find that on YouTube. From the Sky, you'll find it on YouTube, where they have kind of like lyric videos for those. The one I'm going to go with is All Hands from the album. And it's pretty much just like a really good song about a dude getting hit by a train.
Decide whether I'm out.
I've tried with Protest of the Hero in the past, and I think that the vocals just kind of gotten away from me. But listening to this one, I dig it. He's I think the voice is different, like you mentioned. I like it a lot better. He's got some good hooks here. I could not figure out what the fuck this song was about in the least.
All hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just a guy who's just suicidal and waiting for a train to fucking hit him.
All right. Well, it works for me.
Yeah. Which I get. it's my vibe. I'm gonna go sit on some tracks and wait for a train to fucking hit me. I think that this album thematically is about like old time America, and so it would be a lot easier to get hit by a train back then than it is these days. I think their brakes are a little bit better these days. You'll probably have a train stop and yell at you.
Yeah,
they only go like 30 miles an hour.
Huh. Trains, I mean, suck. I gotta say, throwing yourself in front of a train is generally going to be a huge inconvenience to a lot of people. So maybe don't do that.
Yeah. What a move though. What a big baby like way to fucking just make a display of yourself. It's like you gotta commit suicide, but then you gotta make everybody care who's around you in that moment. It's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah. That's not a fan. Not a fan.
No. Well, I'll share a hotline. I'm sorry. Can't talk like that anymore. But yeah, extremely good track, extremely good album. It's my album of the year, even though I don't know. We'll see what 6 months holds, but this one's gonna do it for me, I think.
What do you think, Jordan?
I think it will be his album of the year.
I just like the silence, just punctuated by air conditioning.
Yeah, that's fine. It's so fucking hot.
It's just summer, man. I mean, it's just you're just kind of hanging out in a circle of your friends, just sort of looking at each other, wondering what there is to say anymore, and the air conditioner goes on. Just how it is. That's just the world now.
I mean, you shouldn't have friends with you in a place where there's air conditioning. You should be by yourself in your home or your apartment, staying away from everyone or everything.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
Insider baseball, we're not all sharing the same room. You know, despite our incredible audio quality at all times, we're on Skype. We're doing the right thing. You know, we're not one of those lame podcasts where we all spit in the same microphones with each other. In the same
just sharing room. A single microphone.
Yeah.
Hearing it scrape across the table as we move it.
Just passing it around. Yelling
into it at the same time, like David Bowie and Mick Jagger.
You just hear the fumbling noise of it getting passed around from couch to couch in your basement where there's like a fish poster.
Well, when the pandemic's over in 3 years, we'll make it a point to do that.
I can't wait. We'll just eat pizza during it. It'll be like the pizza eating ASMR episode of Toilet of Hell Radio.
Yeah, we'll finally get to do that when we're all 40 tight.
Yeah, man, sick. Well, it's gonna be fucking awesome, dudes. So I think that's it. We got some great songs. Y'all got to hear. You know, you don't have to listen to the other podcasts because they share music. And it's like, look, man, we beat you to it.
Yeah, they also only do it when they feel like it, which they haven't felt like it in a while, which makes me ask, why am I paying for premium hosting?
I don't know, man. Maybe you should tell them, look, if you go to bandcamp.com and you pay $12, you guys can publish all of your podcast episodes up on bandcamp.com in a way that is your own URL, and they can just... I don't know, they could call it fuckstick.com. It doesn't matter, you know.
I mean, I would choose a different name, but that's probably not a bad idea.
We'll call it the Fuckstick Podcast.
Okay, I like that then. Yeah, let's go with that.
Cool. All
right, everybody. I gotta get out of here. I gotta do things. But thank you for listening, and hey, we'll be back with a different episode next week.
Keep it metal, keep your mask on. And keep your distance, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.